أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله أحمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على كريم المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. That is with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praises is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance. And I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the best among the prophets Muhammad, as well as on his family, his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge of Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessing and my favor upon you and chosen al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise myself first as I advise you to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah, the Most High, and obey him. Dear believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Jumma Mubarak. And most important, Ramadan Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدان ورحمتون للمؤمنين كل ما عم تفدي اي تو كل بفضل الله وبالرحمة متيه فبذلك فليفرح هو كارون منا يحمعون. صدق الله الدين. And the translation expression is as follows. O mankind, there has come to you instruction from your Lord and a healing for what is in the breast and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. Say, in the bounty of Allah and in his mercy, in that let them rejoice. It is better than what they may accumulate. We say, Salak Allah Wadeen, show your life, speak the truth. Today's goodbye title, inshallah, is Ramadan is a healing for mankind. Ramadan is a healing for mankind. Reported hadith, Abu Hurairah, who reported that the Messenger of Allah, the prayers and peace be upon him, is saying, when there comes the month of Ramadan, the gates of mercy are opened. And the gates of hell are locked, and the devils are chained. I'm just going to read that part of some of the narrations. That's the part I want to keep for the day. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah again for allowing us to be present during this sacred month of Ramadan. there is really a different sense to our lives when we go through this month. Now, tradition tells us that the Quran was revealed while the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was on a spiritual retreat. He was on a spiritual retreat. And Allah says to us that he has sent the whole of the Quran during this month. And we know that we are to read the whole of the Quran during the month of Ramadan, right? Inshallah. So Allah begins this ayat with the announcement of the Quran, right? Saying, O mankind, it has come to you instruction. Right? Instruction from your Lord, right? So he addresses, O mankind, and Nasu, right? The meaning of this word is the human being. Now, when we look at the origin of our creation, we are created first as insan, right? And this word is considered to be a plural of insan. So when Allah addresses us like that, it is in that first state, the state of Adam, alayhi salam, the state of Adam that is and was created, right? But it is also attached to a particle of certainty that comes behind it with the emphatic kut, right? Kut, the attention getter. Allah is addressing our human nature, and this is the meaning of Nas, right? So with that, we must realize that the coming of the Quran, and the way Allah puts this, is to get our attention, to get our attention. When Muhammad was approached by Jibril, alayhi salam, that interaction got his attention. So for us in this time of Ramadan, we have to realize that the Quran, the final revelation to Anas, right? The final revelation to humankind, the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should get our attention, right? So this cut, the cut, while not as dramatic as seeing the angel Jibril, the certainty of it, the emphaticness of it for us needs to be the same. We should realize that this is no small thing. It is no small thing, because in the world that we live in, how many are going through the fast of Ramadan right now? And let me say this, and I bring this up every year, that even if you're going through this month having to adapt your fast for due to your personal issues, right? It is still the month of Ramadan. It is still the month of Ramadan. And Allah does not wish to place a hardship on anybody. This is why we have to make sure that when we are in discussion with those we come in contact with, that the focus doesn't just go on food and water. The focus shouldn't just be on that. The focus should be on the obedience that we're working on in ourselves, right? This is something for our human nature, right? Our internal being. Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, he said, the purpose of Ramadan is to bring us more and more to conform to what Allah wants for us, wants it for us, in us, and for us, right? He said, and the biggest benefit is the obedience to Allah. Now, the obedience, he said, taqwa is called, is obedience. It's obedience to Allah. It's also this regardfulness, it's a respect for the authority of God, right? A regard that is for that high absolute authority that makes us obedient and that we enjoy being obedient, right? So the goal of our lives is to get back to that original nature, that nature that was created with the utmost respect for its creator. When we look at that obedience we have in our creation, this month of the Ramadan is a chance to really feel it. It's to really to examine it. And if we want to know what it's like to be in the shoes of Adam, Jesus, Idris, Ibrahim, Muhammad, alayhi salam to the prophets, the present peace be upon them, then we have to realize that when Allah has done something for us like this, we have to put our full attention to it. If we declare that we are living the way of life that a God has designed for us, and when I say for us, you know, because this is not for everybody. This is not for everybody. We're unique in this. And it's being seen really because of the fact that while we're here having Jumu'ah during Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, the Christians going through Lent and Passover is coming. So the focus on exactly what we do and what they do is there now. The conversation is out there. So we're unique in what we do. And we benefit from it. And we benefit by Allah's Quran, right? There has come to you instruction. This is Ja'atkumau Ithu Tum, right? Instruction, admonishment, advice. If we want to ever describe the Quran for someone, all we have to say is, and one thing we can say is, it's the book of life. It's a book of life. The instruction manual for how to live a life inside of the boundaries set by the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because now we have the Rabb attached to it as well. The caretaker, the sustainer of the spiritual and material world of the human being. Right? In that original form. Now the purpose of this is not for us to just maintain it. We don't just need to maintain, you know. You know why we see each other on the street? How you doing? I'm maintaining. No, we're not to maintain. We do not believe in the status quo. Our lives are designed to elevate that nature that we have inside of us. The instruction is to help us navigate through it. This word, wa'atha, right? It means to exhort, right? Allah is telling us that during this month, even though it's not in this ayat, it's in the Quran, that we're supposed to exhort ourselves. And we know this, right? There has come to you something to strongly encourage you to do something. Do what? First and foremost, do what we're created to do, and that is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What better time than during the month of Ramadan is there to work on our obedience? It is a month of obedience. Even those who have gotten off the path, so to speak, know that this is the time to get back on track. All right? Get back on that path. Now, we just not just want to be obedient during this month. The goal is to develop the habits that will allow us to go out of this month and have a shield. Have what we need to get through the other 11 months that are to come. Because one thing about, that's inshallah, because one thing about this month, it always comes when it's most needed. It always comes when it's most needed. That's the way we have to look at it. You know, I've been watching a lot of, you know, we are in North Carolina, so, but it has nothing to do with it. I've been watching a lot of NASCAR lately, right? Now, they can only go so far on a set of tires, right, before they have to come in for a pit stop. So I'm watching last week, and the last few laps, the leader lost because his car had older tires on it. And the car that passed him had fresher tires on it. Right? So here comes the month of Ramadan. And we've gone over 11 months. Right? Because we know it moves up 10 days. We've gone over 11 months on those tires. And regardless of how we try to not wear them down. Right? They say be easy on them. Right? This life will wear them down for us. Just because of the fact that we have to keep doing those laps, right? The rotation of the earth is what causes the days and the nights to come. And in a race, they do laps around a track. Well, over time, there will be things that will wear us down. Now, for me, I looked at the fact that Ramadan was right on time because just 2 weeks ago, I had to deal with four people in my life passing away within a 1 week span. And yes, I understand Allah is the best knower. I understand Allah makes the best decisions for his creation. But in my nature, in me, it took a toll on me. It takes a toll on all of us when we have to go through something like that. So when Allah says that there has indeed come to you something to keep you going, and as I close this first part, there's something to keep you going, right? Something to give you encouragement for what you have to deal with. This is what Allah has given us. In the month of Ramadan. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Ameen. Nahina shaitan rajeem.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ramadan is a healing for mankind. Ramadan is a healing for mankind. So Allah says, O mankind, it has come to you instruction from your Lord and a healing for what is in your breast. Right? Washifa'un, right? Shafa, right? Cure, healing. Something that restores health. Right? This life in this world will make you sick. You know the term, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, the Quran comes to heal you of that. It is a recovery of what you're going through during this life. See, if we could stay in a bubble and just live our lives like that, we would still have some issues. Even if we was in a bubble by ourselves, we would still have some issues. See, the enemy of mankind, right? The enemy of innats, right? The enemy of is not going to let you smell the roads and smell the flowers every day. Allah did not set it up for us just to enjoy all the time. He has put tests in our lives for the sole purpose of giving us the medicine to heal us. Heal us in our breasts, right? The word sadara, right? We're going step by step. This is how revelation comes. And for us, this is how we have to look at this. Sadara, it means chest. Yes, when we feel the weight of the world on us, if it feels like our chest is just compressed. The whole weight of the world, it comes down on our chest area. Imam Muhammad, right, Lana, he said, the breast refers to the heart, to the spiritual consciousness, conscience, and the intellect. And it also refers to understanding. It means that man has a very limited, narrow understanding. Have you ever just thought to yourself, I cannot understand why this had to happen? Well, Allah has revealed something to us to help us in those situations. Now, this is what he has told us about this word, sadra. Right? Sadra. We know this word. Surah 94. I'm having a blank. Alam nasak laka sadrak. Alam nasak laka sadrak. And we expand your breasts. We expand your breasts. Now, if we keep staying with this thought, wa'athar, right? It means good counsel, teachings that have a deep effect on the heart, to touch the human heart. The Quran was revealed to have a lasting effect on what is in our chest. See, the world would make us hard-hearted. Allah sent Musa, alayhi salam, to address Pharaoh. And Musa made a prayer to Allah and asked him to harden the heart of Pharaoh. In our reading today, Allah put a curse on a people and he said, and I hardened their heart. So we have here Allah telling us I'm sending something for the heart, but he's also saying that I will harden the heart. So who should be special? Who should feel special? He hardened the heart of Pharaoh because he had not accepted the signs of God. And what caused him to not to accept the signs of God was arrogance. Yes, arrogance was that, but it was a simple fact that he did not use his intelligence. It was laid out right there in front of him. And the Imam said that the man is very limited understanding. What he's telling us until Allah goes into our breasts and gives man of what he has for what ails that person. What's wrong with that person? That heart issue. When a person doesn't know something, they become hard. They're embarrassed by it. It's in their defense, they get hard-hearted. They don't want to, it's my way. I don't care what you're saying, but they don't know, right? Look at the world. People are mad about things they cannot understand and they have no intelligence to figure out what it is. So Allah has sent this Quran for what is ailing us. This word also means to remind of that which should soften the heart by the mention of reward or punishment. The Quran is strongly encouraging us to change what we need to change, to fix what we need to fix, to do what we need to do, to get the reward or the punishment. So we need healing. Our spiritual conscience, our intellect, we get mentally run down. We react to things without thinking. We become something we're not. And here comes Ramadan. Here comes the month of Ramadan. Now we have to say to ourselves, it is time to get back to right. And I'm sure you've noticed that when it's time to do what's best, we always say, well, I got to get right. Whatever happens, they got to make it right. I'm not saying that we've done things to get us out of that. But just the wear and tear. Just the enemy against us. It's all in our chest. That's where it weighs. This is where it originates. Inside of the word sadra means mind. It means higher point. See, this is not kulp. This is sadra. But this is still to be considered in the heart. But we're speaking to the spiritual intellectual side of it. The Quran comes in the month of Ramadan to fix what is wrong with our spirits. What is wrong with our minds? What is weighing down our lives? Have we not expanded for your breasts? Because life is a struggle. And after every difficulty, there will come to you some relief. Brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan is that relief. Now, how could that be relief? Right? Because we go through so much during Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when there comes the month of Ramadan, the gates of mercy are opened and the gates of hell are locked and the devils are chained. And we're just dealing right now with what is ailing us. In our chest. When the Quran was revealed, those who believe in it, who accept it, their shaitans are locked up, put away. See, we now have a chance to breathe. And in the reading of the Quran, there are many more blessings in it. Reading that Jews is that breath of ruh being put into us. The healing is not a pill we take. It is the words of Allah being placed into our beings. Our nature's being recharged. And during Talim Sunday, I mentioned a rubber band. You know, sometimes you have a rubber band that won't stretch, you know, but to get into something you want to put around. You got a rubber band, you want to put it around, but it's a small rubber band. So it won't stretch. But then you finally get it to get on to this object. But then here comes a time now you got to take the rubber band off. Now, the rubber band was this big the first time. Now, when you take the rubber band off of being on there for so long, now the rubber band is this big. The rubber band is so wide, you think it's no good anymore. Well, those 11 plus months that we had since Eid al-Fitr have stretched our human rubber band to the max. But we know that we're going through this month right now, that is not a cakewalk. It's not easy. It seems like you just lay down and you're getting right back up. If you just lay down, you may not even be hungry when you get up. But you got to eat or drink something because you don't want the 4 o'clock headaches. And you're going to be sleepy. All these things that you go through, nobody's going to ever say, oh, Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, oh, that's easy. Nobody should ever say that. Because it should battle you. It should stretch you. It should challenge you. We're going to our limits. The Prophet, the Prayer, peace upon him, said if Allah wills good for someone, he inflicts them with trials. Ramadan, right? Where we get Ramadan from, it means a burning, to be burning. Heat. It's an unpleasant condition. The month is not easy, but neither is life. Ramadan is a picture of life. You know, there was a daughter who complained to her father about life, about how her life was miserable and that she didn't know if she was going to make it. And she was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. And it seemed that as one problem got solved, another problem came right behind it. So her father, who was a chef, took her to the kitchen. He put 3 pots of water on the stove. And he placed on top of a hot fire, and he placed a potato, some potatoes in one. He placed some eggs in another, and he put coffee in the third one. And he let it boil, without saying a word to the daughter. So she grew impatient. She moaned and she griped, wondering what's going on. And after about 20 minutes, he turned off the flame. He took the potatoes out, put them in a bowl, put the eggs in a bowl, and he placed them, and he took the coffee and he poured it in a cup. And then he turned to his daughter and he said, "What do you see?" And she said, "I see potatoes, eggs, and coffee." He said, "Look closer. Touch the potatoes." And she noted they were real soft. He said, "Well, touch the egg and break it." And she said the egg was a hard boiled egg now. It was solid. And finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. And the rich aroma brought a smile to her face. She said, "Father, what does this mean?" He explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee had been faced with some adversity of boiling water, and how each one reacted differently. The potato went strong, was once strong and hard and unrelenting, but put inside that boiling water, it became soft and weak. The egg was fragile, the outer shell protecting the liquid inside of it until it got put in that boiling water and it became out hard. The coffee grounds were unique. It was separated. And they changed in the water and created something new. So he asked, "Which one are you?" When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? When it gets to boiling in your life, how do you respond? Are you a potato, an egg, or a coffee? The moral is, in life, things happen to us. Things happen, but the only thing that truly matters is how we choose to react to it, how we make of it. Life is about learning, adapting, converting all the struggles that we experience into something positive. So the struggle of Ramadan is teaching us, how do we handle adversity? How do we deal with the boiling of the heat of Ramadan when we got the heat of life every day? So we can go through life and we can either be eggs or we can be potatoes. And it's going to be more on this fairy fable next week when I move on, because I don't have time to do all of it. I'm about to end right now, inshallah. Ramadan is going to make us eggs, or it's going to make us potatoes. Because that's what life does. Our original nature is to become an egg. Right? We're built on to take the heat of life. Ramadan is just a glimpse, again, of what life is. It's the pressure. It's intense. It's hard. It can wear on us. And Imam Muhammad said that when a person is fast, he's under a burning heat of appetite for physical food. But while he's under this burning heat, a resistance to heat is building up in him. The muscles of his willpower build up under the test of desire to satisfy his want for food and drink. The buildup of the willpower is the kind of wrapping that will protect you from the heat, not only for the month of Ramadan, but for the rest of the year. He said there are many kinds of heat other than temptation of food that will tempt you to break your willpower and give in to the heat. If you fast properly during the month of Ramadan, you will get a resistance that you need to survive that heat for the rest of the year. The Quran was revealed during this month to signal something, right? The word sadara, it also means to return from, come back. It means go forward. If we let the Quran get our ills healed, we can return from anything. We can survive the heat of Ramadan. Nothing that has gone on in our lives can overcome what God has for us. We can come back from any trial, anything that will have us worn down, have us tired. The heat we go through this month is our opportunity to get stronger. Ramadan does not come to be hard on us. It comes to heal us. It comes to teach us how to handle what life has. The struggles of life are that pressure that we feel. But ask yourselves today, what is on your minds? Remember, because it also means minds, intellect. We are thinking about how not to break our fast by doing something that's disobedient. We're thinking, how do we keep what I'm doing today and not lose the chance to prove to Allah that I am obedient, I am his servant, I have some taqwa. See, the things we normally do or let get us down, they don't seem to be so big right now when we're focusing on Ramadan. Because we have submitted this in this month, something that we must submit in every month, something we must submit every day, every minute. And when you think, no, I'm not going to blow this horn today. No, I'm not going to argue back this time. Yes, I'm going to make salat, all the salat I can make. I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more of normally than of what I normally give during this month. When you're focusing on Allah, the other things become what they really are, small, because Allah is Akbar. He is greater than anything we can add up. The power he has is bigger than any problem we face. Allah has not placed a burden on us we cannot bear. We do that to ourselves. This is a month that comes to get that burden off of us. It comes to break the yokes that are around our necks. That's a healing. That is releasing what is weighing down our chest. There is so much more to present on this, and inshallah, we'll be finishing next week. This month of Ramadan is building inside of us the resistance to what comes at us. That's what the Imam was telling us. It is giving us our lives. It's giving our lives what's called muscle memory. The Quran has come to heal what is in our chest. And we know that to be the heart, mind, spiritual, intellectual. That's that part of us. Well, this month comes to show us how to live our lives with that healing. It's developing a muscle memory in us. You know, muscle memory is the ability to do a particular movement without conscious thought. But it's acquired because you do something so frequent of movement, repetition, it's golf. Number one thing about muscle memory. Without conscious thought, meaning we can do it even when we're not thinking about doing it. If you want to know who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had muscle memory to the max. His obedience to Allah, he didn't even know he was doing it. It was so natural. This is what obedience is. This is what taqwa is. The Quran, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are brought to us during this month to develop our muscle memory, the muscle memory of a believer. They say if you do something 21 days, it become habit. That's a myth. But if you look at it, Allah has proved what does. He said fast 29 to 30 days. And if you're sincere in this, it becomes a habit and it will change your life again. Now, science has found out that if you do something for 66 days, a habit for 66 days, it becomes automatic. Muscle memory is automatic. Let us approach this month that we're in. You know, we're into the first 10 days, mercy. And this, I had dealt with mercy, but I didn't address it yet. Inshallah, next week. But healing is mercy. Feel the healing that can happen. Feel the healing that will strengthen us. Because the month of Ramadan is a healing for mankind. Now, inshallah, I have given something a benefit today, which all praise due to Allah. And may we have pleased Allah in this effort. Rabbana taqabbal minna inka as-sami'u al-'alim. O our sustainer, accept this thou from us, for thou verily art alone, all hearing and all knowing. Ameen.